So great, this is a great verse. Proverbs 3, verse 7, the Bible says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Let's pray. Brother Kevin, pray for us, please.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for being in your house this morning. Pray that you would help Pastor Matt, Lord, as he works here, Lord. Pray that you would bless the Sunday school time. Pray that you would be a pastor up there in Canada, Lord. Pray that you bless that meeting, Lord. Healthy and well. Pray that you get back safe, Lord. We ask that you bless our day today. In Christ's
name. Amen. Now, I was thinking about teaching Hebrews chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. And then when Dad got back, told me he's only got chapter 13 left. That'd still be another 6 months, but I figured, no, I'll let him do it. So, but I thought, in honor of Dad, I had to tell you all a dad-like joke today. So this is the best I got. What did the dog say when he saw the tree? Bark. That was a dad level joke right there. Okay, Proverbs chapter number 3. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And we, fortunately for you adults, we're on the second part of that verse, but we did spend quite a bit of time on be not wise in thine own eyes. And just to, you know, the teen boys, they don't remember a whole lot. They probably not even sure what they ate for dinner last night. Unless it's still on their shirt, amen. But I told them, I said, most of the problems you have in Christian life and Christian people or saved people and in the church and in homes is somebody's too is wise in their own eyes. Because the opposite of so the Bible says, be not wise in their own eyes. What he's telling you is to be humble. Don't think too highly of yourself. Have a sober thought about yourself. When you are offended, when you're out of sorts, when you're upset, when you're bitter, when you're not right, you're not humble. Because when you're truly humble, you can't be offended. You can't be done wrong in your eyes. People can't mistreat you when you're truly humble. And so some of you are enjoying that as much as the teens did, amen? But it's true. This it's practical Christianity, and you mark it down. Next time you get crossways about something, you're being wise in your own eyes. Your opinion matters too much to you. And but we got down through that, and really what we ended on was how to not be wise in your own eyes is you must be humble. And Job, the last verse we looked at last week was Job 42:6. Job said this, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And you go through the book of Job, you know what happened, book of Job. The Lord allowed Satan to take everything but Job but his life. And he went through, he had three miserable friends, he had terrible health, and in after chapter 2, his three friends show up, and Job and his three friends are conversing, and basically his three friends are saying, "Job, you're so wicked, you're backslid, you're hypocritical, this is why God's judging you," and Job is defending himself, say, "Really, I'm not," and if you study it, there is some self-righteousness in Job there. He defends himself more stronger than he needed to. He should have let the Lord defend him. And he said some things about himself that was a little bit of self-righteousness. And I'm not being critical of Job. He went through more than I ever went through. But when the Lord showed up in chapter 41, and the Lord talks to Job, this was Job's response. "I abhor myself and repent in dust." And when his three friends show up, he's ready to defend himself. Say, "No, I'm really not wicked. I've offered sacrifices. I love God." But when God showed up, Job said, "I'm nothing. I repent. I hate myself. I am so low and down." And so that to me, it's a great picture of humility. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. Now, we look at a lot of scriptures, and I'll have folks read these. If I have the teen boys read them, they don't fall asleep for quite as long because they got to wake up and read every 5 or 10 minutes. So it's a great thing. Amen. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 33. Let me see. Casey, go ahead and read that for us nice and loud. So we see, before you're going to ever be honored, you got to be humble. And another verse, very similar, Proverbs 18:12, just a page or two over. Proverbs 18:12, Gino, read that nice and loud for us. You know, there's a lot of folks that want to be honored in life. They want a place of honor. They want to be thought of in an honorable way. But the Bible clearly says before you ever be honored, you need to be humble. Go to Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 22. We're going to look at a lot of verses. So Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 4. Ben, go ahead and read that nice and loud.
By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches.
So again, humility and the fear of the Lord are linked together, which we're going to see there in Proverbs 3:7. The fear of the Lord shows up, but he talks about riches, honor, and life. And I don't believe those riches are just physical riches there in verse 4, Proverbs chapter 22. But before you ever be honored, you must be humble. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, looking at humility. And that is the answer to not being wise in your own eyes. 1 Peter 5:5, and I told the young people, I said, you know, teenage boys, they get older, get in their 20s, and it's very natural for them to be wise in their own eyes. But the truth is, it's natural for all of us to be wise in our own eyes. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Go ahead, Daniel. We'll make you a group of the part of the teen group today only. 1 Peter 5:5. So we're to be clothed with humility. I've probably said this before, but thankfully, none of us would have thought about leaving our house today without being clothed. Partly out of decency and partly out of the temperature, amen? But did you leave without being clothed with humility? Let me just say this to you, and then we'll move on. But the next day that you have a bad day, not a bad day in the sense that, you know, the kids were naughty and the milk was spilled and the coffee maker broke and the dryer doesn't work and all that. But I'm saying a bad day, everything irritates you, you're bothered, you're offended, you don't seem to get along with it, you don't have to get along with yourself. Ask yourself this question: did you clothe yourself with humility before you started your day? The Bible says be clothed with humility. Why? That would be our natural response. Why? He says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I need grace each and every day. Do you want grace today? I do. What must you do? Clothe yourself with humility. Go to back to Proverbs chapter number 25. We need to learn in life. We need to learn to be humble. You say, why do we need to learn it? Because it's not natural. Naturally, we're full of pride. We're about ourselves. We're very egotistical. The natural man is. We need to learn in life to be humble. As young people, we need to learn to be humble. As not so young people, we need to learn to be humble. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 and 7. Josh, I'll let you read both them for us. A great principle the Bible teaches here. It says there in verse 6, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. You know what, though? There's people that think they deserve to stand in the place of great men. Why? They think highly of themselves. They think that's where they belong. You're talking about a king, great men? That's where I should be, right? They want to be where? In the forefront. They want to be in a very public place. Listen, that's not humility. That is pride. That is thinking too highly of ourselves. He said this, verse 7, it's better to be said, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower. Shouldest be put lower. That's what some people need in life. They need to be put lower. Why is that? Because we've elevated ourselves. We've put ourselves in a place we don't belong to be. We put ourselves in a place we've not earned the right to be. And it's a place of elevation. It's a place of popularity. It's a place of power. It's a public place. But many of us, we need to be put lower. And we say amen to that, but when God tries to lower us many times, we fuss and kick our feet and throw a fit about it. We don't like to be put lower. We're talking about being humbled. Who likes to be humbled? Who likes to be put lower, put down, to be relegated, we would say, to something that is less than what we used to have? But that's what the Bible, there's a principle there that if you're too elevated, you need to be put down. You need to be, and I'm not talking about talking down people. I'm just talking about being humbled. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of God. That's a lot better than if God has to humble you. If God has to humble you, the great example is King Nebuchadnezzar. He would not humble himself. He thought he was a great king. He thought he had a great kingdom that he had gotten by his own strength and wisdom and power and ability. So God said, I'm going to humble you. And how'd that work out for him? 7 years as an animal, growing claws and feathers and eaten as an ox, the dew on him for 7 years. You talk about being put lower? He was put lower. And what changed it? When he looked up to heaven and said, there's a God in heaven, and he humbled himself, and God restored his kingdom back to him. So listen, you want to learn, young people, do not get yourself in a place where God has to put you lower. And God can do it. And we can get very proud. We can get proud. We learn a little bit. We get a little bit of wisdom, maybe a little bit of knowledge, probably not a whole lot of wisdom, right? And we say, man, I am something else. No, you're not. If you only realize how much you still didn't know. We study our Bibles. We learn a few things from the Bible. We hear some messages, and we know what we heard preached. We say, man, I'm getting a handle of the Word of God. No, you're not. We're not really where we think we should be. And so talking about humility. Go to, we're in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. And we could teach weeks and weeks on pride, but trying to get through this part here. Proverbs 29, verse number 23. Go ahead, Tim. Angus, read that nice and loud for us. A man's pride will bring him low. We're not talking about the low of being humbled. It'll bring him low. It'll bring you down in life. But honor shall uphold the hump. Their humility and honor is used again. You know what God does? God blesses humility. You know this, but God's way up is down, and God's way down is up. God resisteth the proud. He giveth grace unto the lowly. God honors humility. God blesses humility. God, listen, God is not going to use someone who's full of pride. I'll just read this verse. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 14, verse 11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. Listen, if you find the need to go around exalting yourself, there's a problem there. And by exalting yourself, it'd be like Josh telling Daniel, said, man, I'm pretty talented in music. Man, Daniel, you ought to see how smart I am. Man, Daniel, I've got to walk with God. Man, Daniel, I really know the Bible. Daniel would hate his younger brother even more than he does now. Why would Josh see the need to go around constantly exalting himself? You say, is Josh doing that? I'm just using an illustration here, okay? Notice I didn't use you, right? Well, if he goes around seeing the need to exalt himself, why is that? He's full of pride. Because he's thinking too highly of himself. He's not thinking very soberly about himself. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I quoted that verse. It is our responsibility. It's your responsibility. Humble yourself. I wonder here today, young people, really teaching to you today, not preaching, teaching, amen? When's the last time you humbled yourself? When's the last time you said, hey, self, you're getting a little out of hand here. You're getting a little full of yourself. You're getting a little wise in your own eyes. You ever hear the saying, you're getting a little too big for your britches, right? That's never a good sight at all, is it? When somebody's gotten too big for their britches, that's horrible. It's time to change britches, amen? Or go on a diet, one of the two, amen? I don't know how I got there, but anyways. Humble yourself. Back there in Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says, be not wise in thine own eyes. That's going to take humility. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Listen, if you're wise in your own eyes, you won't fear the Lord and you won't depart from evil. Fear the Lord. Fear, I looked up that word fear. It means reverence, respect, due regard, a holy awe, or reverence of God. It's not talking about the fear where you huddle in a corner and you're afraid that God's going to hurt you. It's just as it said, it's a holy awe, reverence, and respect of God, okay? And it says there, fear the Lord. It's a command. All these things here we're reading, be not wise in own eyes. It's a command. Fear the Lord. Young people, you ought to fear the Lord. Your life will be so much better off if you will learn to fear the Lord. If you have good parents, they are trying to put the fear of the Lord in you. You do that through discipline, through training. You have to teach them that there must be an authority that is respected. And the visible authority for a child is the parent. Okay, a child has they don't understand who God is. Titus and Adam this morning, whatever they are, were they 2 years old? Almost two? Not quite two, right? They don't know who God is. But they're getting a grasp of who mommy and daddy are. They're the ones who feed them and all this stuff, you know, keep them alive. And so as they get older, mom and dad's a visible representation of God. That's why as good parents, a good parent wants to teach their child to fear their parents, have a reverence, have a respect for that parent because they're the authority. And as that child grows, they have a fear of God. Once they begin to learn who God is, I believe that people who don't fear God really don't know who God is. Because my belief is if you really know who God is, you'd fear him. If you know that he's eternal, the creator of all mankind, the eternal judge, how would you not fear him? And unless they're so full of pride and rebellion. So the fear of the Lord, it says there, fear of the Lord. Look in Proverbs chapter 1, and these are familiar verses, but I like to go there. I like the young people to write these references down. And don't ever get tired of reading something from the Word of God. It is the Word of God. This world never gets tired of running the same old garbage by you over and over and over again. Proverbs 1, verse 7, let me see. Burr, Kevin, read that for us nice and loud.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom.
So no fear of the Lord, no knowledge. You might have worldly knowledge, but not the right kind of knowledge. It comes from the Word of God. We're looking Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 27. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 27. I see, Bird Derek, we'll let you be a part of the teen group here for a moment. You can read that nice and loud for us. Proverbs 10:27.
Fear the Lord prolongeth days. Fears the wicked.
So young people, you have a choice. You want to live a long life, you want to live a short life. Right? Fear the Lord. Why? The fear of the Lord keep you out of a lot of trouble. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. Proverbs 15, verse number 16, a great truth here. Bert Kiefer, you read that for us, please.
There is little.
You know, in the second part of that verse, he doesn't say the fear of the Lord. He says in trouble therewith. You see that? In absence of the fear of the Lord, he doesn't say. If you and I had wrote that verse, we would have said, better is little fear of the Lord than great treasure without the fear of the Lord, right? But he says trouble. You know what you don't, when you don't have the fear of the Lord, you know what you bring in your life? Trouble. Trouble by the bucketfuls, by the truckloads, by the such an immense amount of trouble because you don't fear the Lord. Young people, you want a life of trouble? How many of y'all, if you sat down right now with a blank piece of paper and somebody said, hey, write down things you'd like for your life to produce and how you would like to live your life and what you'd like to happen. I doubt any of you would write down, number one, I want lots of trouble. Right? Is anybody going to say that? No. That's not, well, how do you avoid trouble? One of the ways is you have to fear the Lord. Look, we're in Proverbs 15. Go back chapter 14, verse number 27. Tim Clare, you can read that for us, please. 14:27. So as it says, a length of days, it's a fountain of life. You can talk about a long life, and the Bible does say that. But you know, there's people that are living life, but it's not a fountain of life. What do you think of when you think of a fountain? It's abundant. It's a blessing. It's overflowing. Some people's lives they're living, they're not being very blessed. It's not blessing anybody else. It's not very abundant in the things of God. Why is that? Because they don't fear God. I've seen people, and I was talking to somebody the other day, many people I knew that I grew up with in church or went to meetings with, and I saw them leave church and go chase whatever the things of the world was. Some of them they chased money, some they chased women, some they chased whatever. I don't know what some of them chased. And you know what they've got? They might have life, they might have money, they might have nice things. Some of them don't even have the things they chased after, though. But you know what they don't have? They don't have a fountain of life. They're miserable, they're empty, They appear to be living life, but they're living such a hollow kind of life. And I know sometimes young people, it's hard for you to sit there and imagine that. I was talking to a young person once, and I told him this. I made a simple statement to him. And if I haven't told you young people individually, I'm going to tell you all now. I said this. This is deep. I said, don't ever leave God. Amen. And this is what they said in as much innocence and assurance as they, I believe, they had in their heart. This is what they said to me. They said, I couldn't even see that happening. And they didn't mean that in a bad way. This was a good young person. I believe in their heart, Brooke Heaven, they couldn't see it happening. Why? They're young. I guarantee you some of these young people, if they were honest today, some of them, now maybe not, but some of them probably say, yeah, I would never leave God. I would always be in church. But see, you know what we can see us that are a little bit older? I was telling somebody, we have 16-year-olds. You know, I was 29 years ago, I was 16. That's horrible. Anyways, you know, somebody that's lived a little bit more can look back and see what a miracle would be if they stay in. And same with you and I. That fountain of life, that's what I'm trying to talk about here, the fountain of life. Look, we're in Proverbs, go to chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Now, before we read Proverbs 16, verse 6, it's very similar. I want to reread Proverbs 3, 7, the verse we're looking at today. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Let me see, Brother Dan, why don't you read Proverbs 16, 6 for us now. So you have, fear in the Lord, departing from evil, is together just like it was in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Those of you and I that are saved, there's times in our life we can look back and say the fear of the Lord is what caused us to either not do evil or to find out something we were doing was wrong, it wasn't pleasing to God, and we forsook it. Why? Not necessarily because of any reason other than the fear of God. Let me say this to you. If the fear of God hasn't moved you recently to stop something or to do something or stay away from something, I would check up what's going on in my life. If everything you do is based on what others around you are saying or doing, that is not the fear of the Lord. That is not a lasting reason. If I'm only not going to do wrong because my wife don't want me to do wrong, that is not the reason I'm not supposed to do wrong. It's supposed to be because of the Lord. I love him, and the fear of the Lord is supposed to keep me from evil because it's given me the wisdom to understand the dangers of not doing so. Go to Nehemiah chapter number 5. Nehemiah, and listen, this is not an all-exhaustive study of the fear of the Lord. There's so much more in the Word of God about it. There's many things you can look at, but I'm just trying to hit a few of the points. Nehemiah chapter number 5, in verse number 9 is what we're going to read. Brother Peter, I'll make sure the sound guy's awake back there. Nehemiah chapter number 5, verse 9, in the King James Version only. That's the only one we use around here. We don't read one and use another one to study, amen? Say, why you say it? Because a lot of people messed up in wrong perversions. And many of them go to Baptist churches. So, anyways, Nehemiah 5, 9.
Also I said, it is not good that you do, ought you not to walk in the fear of our God, because of the course of your heart.
There you go. Ought ye not to walk? And you know what the answer is? Yes, we should. Yes, we should. And then look down in verse number 15. Can you read that the same chapter, Bur Peter? Yes, sir. What kept Nehemiah from doing what everybody else was doing? The fear of the Lord. What were they doing? They were basically taking advantage of God's people. They were charging them tax, tithe on their bread and wine. They were taking stuff because they were a higher rank than them, and they were taking advantage of God's people. And Nehemiah said, you know why I couldn't do that? Because the fear of God. You know what the fear of God will cause you to do? It'll cause you to not do something even if everybody else is doing it, or to do something even if nobody else is. That's why when I hear this from somebody, it scares me for these people when I hear this. Well, so-and-so's doing it. Are you serious? You so lack a fear of God and therefore have no wisdom that your best response is, but so-and-so does it, or so-and-so doesn't do it. Are you kidding me? What Brother Dan does or doesn't do should have no bearing on what I do. If the fear of the Lord is not going to teach you what's right and wrong, I'm not sure anybody could teach you what's right. That's a bad place. Young people don't say, well, so-and-so does it. Do you know, next time your mom tells you to do something and you say, but Casey doesn't have to do that, you know what you just proved? You don't have a fear of the Lord. And Casey, next time your dad tells you something, tells you can't do something, you say, but Gino gets to do that, it shows that you don't have a fear of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you do or don't, but if that's how you would respond. So the fear of the Lord is what kept Nehemiah from doing something that everybody else was doing. And let me say this, it didn't even appear as that wrong. It seemed right to honor those in authority. But Nehemiah knew because the time they were living, because the reproach of the heathen and the situation, it wasn't right. And what taught him that? How did he know that and none of them other ones did? He had the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what, Ben? Wisdom. And he had wisdom that others didn't have because of the fear of the Lord. You ever hear somebody say this? Well, I don't see that. Well, of course you don't. You don't have the wisdom others might have because you don't fear God like somebody else might. Let's go to Book of Job, chapter 1. Book of Job, chapter 1. I told you, we're going to look at a lot of verses today. I like the young people. You know, many times we'll say, the Bible says this. I like them to see it and to read it and get familiar where it is. Job chapter 1. Let me see. We don't let girls read in the teen boys Sunday school class because if they're ever in there, they're in the wrong spot. So Casey, I guess we're back to you, bud. We're in the book of Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job feared God. How could Job withstand the temptation and trials that he faced? He feared God. In Job 28:28, Job is speaking here, and he says, behold, to fear the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Let's go to Psalm chapter 34. A few more verses here on the fear of the Lord. Psalm chapter number 34. I hope today that you and I fear the Lord. I hope young people that you fear the Lord, that you have a desire to learn to fear the Lord in your life. Psalms chapter 34 in verse number 11. Go ahead, Gino. Okay. Listen, you know what God will do through the Word of God? He'll teach you. So if you don't fear the Lord this morning, not all is lost. You can learn to fear the Lord. And maybe some of us fear Him, but maybe we don't fear Him like we should or as much as we should. We can be taught if we have a teachable spirit. I hope we came this morning with a teachable spirit. Young people, I hope you have a teachable spirit. You know, it's like in school. There's things in school. How many of you young people find things in school, some things that are easier to learn, pretty easy to learn, right? Like they taught you 2 + 2 = 4 is pretty easy, right? How many of you have found some things in school much harder to learn? Okay, and then how many of you have found that your ability to learn was also directly tied into your attitude about learning? Has anybody ever found that? Go ahead, put them up there. If you didn't want to learn, you know what it is. It's really hard, yeah, almost impossible to learn. But if you want to learn something bad enough, I don't care how hard it is, chances are you'll learn it eventually. And so I say, do we have a teachable spirit? Do we want to learn? What's our desire? So I didn't get anything. I wonder if your attitude was directly tied to what you got or what you learned. So we can learn to fear God. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And then as we go there, let me read this verse to you. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way in the froward mouth do I hate. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. Let me see. Josh, you can read that for us. Verse number 13. There you go. You want to boil life down, the meaning and the reason for life and our duty in life? There it is. Fear God, keep His commandments. That's a piece of cake, right? We got that done. Now on to bigger, better things, right? Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Fear God, keep His commandments. Ephesians 5:21 says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. not as you find common ground. Do you know what we're all not going to find at some point is common ground, but in the fear of God. And then let's look at one more here. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Proverbs 14 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Interesting verse here. Verse number 1. Go ahead and read that, Daniel. So there, the Bible tells us we're to cleanse ourselves, right, from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in what? Fear God. Very good. So if someone is not perfecting holiness, is it possible they don't fear God? Or that they don't fear God like they should? You ever met somebody who had decided in their life to stop perfecting holiness? I've met them. And you know what happens to them? Do they stay where they should be? No, they start going backwards. What's perfecting mean? It means to try to complete. It's take something that's not perfect, that's not complete, and work it towards perfecting it, making it better. In other words, my holiness today, now this is not in my standing with the Lord, right? I understand that. But in my practical holiness, according to that verse, am I as holy today as I should be? So some of you aren't sure to answer. Somebody raise your hand and give me a yes or no. Am I as holy today as I should be? Go ahead, Josh. No. Are you as holy today as you should be? No, you're not. You know how we know it? Because the Bible tells us, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, these are Christians he's writing to. We're to perfect holiness. We're going to be more complete. We're supposed to grow, go forward, advance in it. And how do you do it? In the fear of God, not in competition, not out of a sense of duty, not because I have to, but why? In the fear of God. I was talking to somebody once, and he used to go to a good church, and he no longer did, and he said this. He said, I don't believe you ought to do anything because you fear God. I believe that's false teaching. He said, I believe the only reason you should do anything is because you love God. Well, that sounds good to the world, but that's not even biblical. The Bible does not say, it never teaches you only do something if you love God. Now, there's things I should do because I love God, but here I'm to perfect holiness, not because I love God, but in the fear of God. In Hebrews, it talks about serving God out of reverence and holy fear. Should only serve God if you love him. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now, I think you should love him. I'm just saying, just be careful what people say that sounds good but doesn't match up with the Word of God. You should love God. If you love him, I think you will serve him. But here it says you're perfect holiness in the fear of God. Out of reverence, respect, a holy awe, a reverence of God, it should motivate you. It should drive you to a perfect holiness. And so, back there in Proverbs chapter 3, that's enough of that, I guess, for today. Proverbs 3 says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It's a progression, I believe, in this verse. Really, what this verse is saying, it says, be humble, fear God, and depart from evil. And if you will humble yourself, if you will fear the Lord, the next step will not even be hard. You will depart from evil. We just saw perfecting holiness. Well, you can't perfect holiness if you're living and pursuing evil. Are we in agreement about that? I mean, that's just a little bit of common sense, right? To depart means to go or move away from, to leave or to cease. Okay? Evil is depravity. It's corruption of heart or disposition to commit wickedness, malignity, and naughtiness. Evil. Now, evil is a pretty strong word, isn't it? And none of us, I don't think today, would want to be accused of being evil or doing evil. But it talks about depravity. You know what? You know what our flesh is? It is depraved. Now, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not teaching the total depravity of mankind, but our flesh is depraved. Our flesh is wicked, our flesh is not saved, and will never be saved. One day God's going to deliver us from this body of sin. And even though I'm saved and the Spirit of God lives inside of me, I still dwell in a body of sin. okay? A corruption of heart. You know what our heart is? It's corrupt. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and it can never be fully sanctified. That's how our heart is. Out of the heart of man proceed. And it starts with evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications. Our heart is not cleansed. Now, I understand your heart can practically be cleansed, but in our heart, it's desperately wicked, it's deceitful above all things. And at any moment in your life, any of those evil things or such like can come out of your heart or my heart, no matter how long we've been saved and how close to God we get. So to depart from evil is a command that we must obey. Young people, you need to depart from evil. I read Job 28:28, but he said, "Behold, to fear the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." It's understanding to depart from evil. One of the ways you know that somebody is maturing is when they have a desire to stop doing wrong. You know, you take a little child who would be properly disciplined by their parents, and they might stop doing wrong. You know why they're doing it? They're doing it because they fear the consequences. But when you begin to have a desire to do that on your own, not because you fear consequences, not because you're being made to, but because in your own heart, young person, you say, "This is wrong, this is evil, and I want to stop, I'm going to depart from it," that is a sign of maturity. You say, "Well, I thought when I turned 18, that's a sign of maturity." No, that's just a sign of physical age. That's all that is. That doesn't mean you could be as mature as a 3-year-old or as a 28-year-old. I've met 68-year-olds that were about as mature as an 18-year-old. But one of the signs that you gain, understanding is speaking of maturity, right? Why would a young person touch a hot burner that's 400 degrees and think it was a good idea? Why would they do that? They don't have any understanding. They're immature. Why would they go outside in the snow in their bare feet and think it's the greatest thing in the world? They're immature. They lack understanding. When you grow up and you get understanding, you don't go around touching hot things. Unless you're just plain retarded, then you might. You stop running outside without your clothes on. Do you understand? You don't do the dumb, illogical things you used to do because you've now matured a little bit. Well, why do people that are saved in church, why they go around and do foolish things? Why they go places they have no business going? Why they mess with things they have no business messing? Why they say things they have no business saying? They lack understanding. They might be saved, but spiritually, they're what? They're immature. It don't matter if they've been saved a year, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. You can still be immature. Maturity is not an age. It's a growth in understanding. Where you understand, this is wrong. I don't need an authority to tell me, "Hot, no, don't touch, hot." But some Christians, you got to walk around with them, say, "Hot, don't touch. No, it's snowing outside. Put your shoes on. Put a coat on. No, we're not going to play in the rain." Right? For whatever reason. Why do some, would some need that? And some, if you let them go for just a couple minutes, they get themselves in trouble. Why? They're immature. They lack understanding. But when you depart from evil, and I believe that's talking of your own decision, it's a sign of that you're gaining understanding, that you're maturing a little bit. You know, young people, there ought to come a time, hopefully it has, if not, hopefully it's soon, where you understand one of your responsibilities in life is to please your parents. And then you know what does please them, and you know what doesn't please them, and you have a desire to please them because things just go a lot better when you please them. You know what that is? It's a little bit of maturity. Christians, when we get to a place, we realize we were put here to please God, and we learn what does please them, and we learn what doesn't. We decide to just go and please them because things go a lot better when we please them. You know what that is? It's a sign of maturity. But when we decide, "But I like this, regardless if it pleased God or not, and it feels good, it makes me happy, I like it, I'm going to do it anyways," that's immaturity. We lack understanding. So depart from evil is understanding, and the Bible says that a wise man will depart from evil. So we see that It speaks of having understanding. It also speaks of being a wise person. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Proverbs 14, verse 16. I don't believe any of us here this morning want to be called a foolish person. Right? Would you want to be considered wise? Yes, we do. It's like a teenager. It's like teenagers. They want to be thought of as old. right? Like they turn 18, they think they're adults. You're not an adult at 18. You're still in teens. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure some of you at 21 are going to be adults, but I guess whatever. For the Christmas party's sake, we'll call you an adult, right? What do they want? They want to be thought that they're older or more mature. A 15-year-old don't want to be said, you act like you're 10. I mean, that's a great insult. Now, if somebody told Brother Kevin, said, man, you're looking like you're 25, he's probably not going to be bothered by that too much. It's like, man, I was young and spry and full of strength and all that back then. Now I just move a little slower, right? But to a teenager, man, they want to be thought they're old and mature and even older than they might be. Like, they won't be told, you're mature beyond your years. If anybody's ever told a teenager that, they were lying through their teeth. They should say, you're dumber than beyond your years. See, I told you adults couldn't handle this class that time. We're going to stop right there. I don't know how I got into all that. They want to be thought of as mature. But just being a certain age don't make you mature. It's your understanding. It's the wisdom you either do or don't have. Amen. That's a great little chapter, Proverbs 3. It's taken me a long time. I can't really get on Dad's case because it's going to take me a long time to get through Proverbs 3. The next time I come out here when Dad's gone, whenever, we'll probably be all the way up verse 9 or 10 or something. That's that word of prayer. Lord, I love you and I thank you for saving me. I thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I'm thankful that every question we need answered and every bit of help that we need, we can find it in your book. And Lord, when we read it and obey it and apply it to our lives, Lord, we are truly blessed. And you are pleased, and so help us pray something that was said this morning would be a blessing to somebody, especially these young people, Lord, they learn to be humble, to fear you, and depart from evil. I pray bless the service to follow in a mighty way, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Get a break.